Lord, we pray that your grace may always precede and follow us and make us continually be given to all good works. In the name of God, who is continually welcoming us. Amen. The theme for this week's lectionary selections, especially those from Exodus and from the Gospel of Matthew, should be people behaving very badly. In Exodus, Moses is just taking a bit too long to come down from the mountain with God. So the people gathered about Aaron and said, "Come, make us gods for us." It was just a little too boring in the wilderness that day waiting for Moses, and thus the idol of the golden calf was born. And in Matthew's gospel, things aren't much better there either. Jesus tells the parable of the wedding banquet. A king is trying to throw a wonderful banquet for his son, and he can't get anyone to accept his generosity. Finally, some come, and one person refuses, or perhaps doesn't have, the wedding garment. Just like God and the golden calf, this action makes the king angry and says to his attendants, "Bind him hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called and few are chosen." Good news. Some find the parable of the wedding banquet a disturbing one. Is Jesus telling us that our God is a God that gets angry at those who come to the wedding banquet and can't dress properly? Gets so angry that he banishes them to the outer darkness? Not comforting. Not at all. But there is another way to look at the parable. What if Jesus was pointing out that many of us are so unaware of God's gracious goodness surrounding us at all times? Sometimes we just don't show up for that gracious goodness. Sometimes we show up for life and are only halfway there. Sometimes we are so despondent about our lives that we show up half-dressed, perhaps half-dressed spiritually, when if we really opened our eyes and heart, we'd see that every day is full of kingdom celebrations. So much so that every day we'd want to wear our finest party outfits. Surrounded by the kingdom's finest every day, do we really believe that? Or do we only halfway show up? It would be easy these days to wonder about whether the kingdom is really breaking in all around us. The stock market, the greed of corporate kingpins, the viciousness of campaign politics. But I've been thinking quite a bit about what Brian McLaren says about God and humans. In his book, which is a wonderful book, Everything Must Change, McLaren says that reading God's word, we really should think about another way to read it than God in heaven, us trying to get to heaven, us being told no to heaven, there only being certain people that measure up to heaven, that heaven is somehow far removed from where we are day to day. Brian McLaren has said, with God, now go with me with this, there is no junk DNA. Move over to science for a minute. He got this idea from an encounter on a plane. He was speaking to his aisle mate, just making polite conversation, and he asked this fellow if he was heading away from home or to home. His short reply was barked, "Away. Work." Sensing that the man maybe didn't want to talk, Brian kept trying to be a little polite and asked him what he did for a living. The man at first seemed reluctant to tell him, but finally said, "I'm one of the world's experts on the genetics of the fruit fly, the Drosophila. I'm going to give a lecture to the world's other leading Drosophila geneticists." And then Brian's neighbor got excited. He launched into a discussion of the genetics of the fruit fly, and much to Brian's surprise, it was entertaining. It went on through the whole flight. He didn't say how long the flight was, but as they landed, the geneticist said something to Brian that stayed with him and that he has worked on in this book. This man refuted the common misconception that much of the material in a gene is junk DNA. Nothing is wasted, he said. There is no junk. Maybe we don't yet understand the functions of some parts of the gene, but the more we learn, the more we see how each part has a role to play in being human. We only call those parts junk when we assume we know what they're supposed to do, and they don't do it. But our assumptions are usually wrong. The problem isn't the gene, it's the thinking of the geneticist. When they said goodbye at baggage claim, Brian began to think about whether we look at the Bible, God's word, in much the same way. Do we believe that the Bible's main purpose is to go to heaven, to legitimize religious institutions, to give us a timeline for the end of the world, and that there's a lot of extraneous material, junk material, that we can ignore, like today's unsettling gospel? But what if we thought about it all a little differently? What if we tested another hypothesis, that the Bible is instead the story of a partnership between God and humanity to save and transform all human society and avert global destruction? What if the stories, all of them, through the whole New and Old Testament, are trying to get us to rethink everything we thought we knew, to open our hearts and minds and see things in a new way? Brian gives a couple of examples, and as you've seen through the stories we've heard this fall, with the unjust steward and the workers in the vineyard, you see again and again God trying to get us through these inspired scripture stories to think a little bit differently. Here are some things to think about. Don't get revenge when wronged, but seek reconciliation. Don't repay violence with violence, but seek creative and transforming nonviolent alternatives. Don't focus on external conformity to moral codes, but internal transformation in love. Don't love insiders and hate or fear outsiders, but welcome outsiders as the new us, a new humanity that celebrates diversity in the context of love for all, justice for all, and mutual respect for all. Here's another one. Don't have anxiety about money or security or pleasure at the center of your life, but trust yourself to the care of God. Don't live for wealth, but for the living God who loves all people, including your enemies. Don't hate your enemies or competitors, but love them and do to them not as they have done to you, and not before they do to you, but as you wish they would do for you. Think about that there is no junk DNA, no junk humanity, no junk creation. As I was sitting watching Steve Wilcoxon expertly try his best yesterday to get folks to bid on auction items at the festival, I wondered about what the state of the world and our thinking is these days. No one was bidding. Steve was doing all his auctioneer tricks to get people interested. It was pretty silent for a while. I was interested what would happen to several items from our lives that were in the auction. There was the antique bed that my grandmother slept in when she stayed with us, and the bed, and it was the same bed that was my bed for the first 10 years of my marriage. There were the loft beds that both Jack and Anna had spent much of their childhood in, beds carefully made by a South African woodworker. We also put in the foosball table as well, purchased one Christmas in South Africa, and heavy as anything. Much to my surprise, the beds were not drawing any real bids. The foosball table, on the other hand, was the hit of the auction, selling for the highest price of all the items. I tracked down the woman who was interested in the loft beds but didn't come up to the minimum price. The price that she had mentioned wasn't the starting price or anywhere close. But I found her, And after I talked to her, I felt like the bed should be with her. And so we settled on a price. And then I met her children. And I learned that her family is from Ghana in Africa. It felt like a kingdom moment. And it didn't really matter what the price was. I told Alice and Richard about it. And they said that the reproduction Victrola recorder that we had only went for $10. But the woman who had bid on it had probably never bid on any item before. And she was seen leaving, happily walking away, happy beyond words with her prized possession. I thought about how we think about events that we do together as a community. The festival is really a day about coming together and experiencing the kingdom of God right here, not something we wait for years and years away, not doing it exactly right, exactly perfect, exactly how we've remembered it, exactly how we want it to be. And in the end, although it is a fundraiser, it's really not about the money. I know some people are not happy to hear me say that, but it really isn't. It's about what we do together as a community. It's about meeting people for the first time and realizing that you're connected in ways that you'll never know. It means a huge amount to me to know that those two little girls will be sleeping in beds that my children slept in for most of their childhood, and that we're connected through generations to Africa. They'll be sleeping on African wood in this country, growing up, hopefully safe and full of joy, and able to meet all their challenges the rest of their days. I'm going to think again and again as we move towards All Saints Sunday and we move through our stewardship season about what it is that people of God are called to do. This book, Everything Must Change, has got me thinking about all the stories in the Bible. It's not about getting it right so that we're saved. It's about living into God's love right here and now. And I must say that the memorial community is blessed and so gifted at that. Thanks be to God. Amen.